Here we are. We have reached the final part of the NBA season preview on the Podium Game podcast. I'm Brian Gibberman here with Jared Dubin. Dubin, we've been talking to each other for a while now, so I know we're both excited to be done with this.
Yeah. I mean, I do want to do these predictions, though, you know?
Oh, yeah. This is a must. We had to get this done. That's why we'll
deal with it. It's better than watching. I mean, apparently baseball is going nuts right now.
I'm getting text messages about this, and anytime someone has text messaged me about the baseball playoffs, I just haven't responded.
I just can't bring myself to watch anything but the Yankees.
And I even struggled with the Yankees. Like I said, I haven't been paying much attention to preseason basketball to try and like not let my brain get convoluted with stupid things that happen. I would rather watch a preseason basketball game than a playoff baseball game.
Yeah, I would rather just not watch either.
You went to Game 5, didn't you? You went to the wild card game?
Yes, I did.
How was the atmosphere there?
It seemed like it would have been good if the Yankees could manage to do anything.
So it was more a product of what happened than for why it sucked.
Yeah, like at the start of the game, people were going nuts, like up and down on every pitch. And then all of a sudden it just became clear that the Yankees were just not going to touch, Dallas Keuchel at all.
Great name.
I think that's his name, Dallas Keuchel.
Yeah, and that's it's a great name.
Yeah.
You got it right. All right, NBA predictions. I have 5 I want to hit on.
All right, I have 9, so let me just rip off a couple of them first we don't really need to discuss.
And these are somewhat bold.
Yeah, some of mine are. Some of them are not.
Okay.
So this is one we discussed on the Eastern Conference podcast. I'm going to say the Magic make the biggest jump in defensive efficiency of any team. Scott Skiles' teams have on average jumped 12 spots in defensive efficiency in his first year. And they have a bunch of really good athletes that should be good defenders but haven't necessarily been so far in their careers. And I think that he'll light a fire under them to get them playing better defense. So that's prediction number 1, which we kind of already discussed already.
I like it. I like that one.
The second one that we don't really need to discuss, that it's something I just think is going to happen, Boogie and Rondo will get thrown out of the same game at least once.
And fight each other at the same time?
Sure. Why not?
Which team should have would you rather have a reality TV show following them? The Kings or the Grizzlies?
Oh, the Grizzlies. But I'm probably alone on that.
No.
Because I don't necessarily like watching a train wreck in action. I would rather just watch interesting people. Or actually, you know what? I changed my mind. It's the Kings. Boogie, Rondo playing Connect Four, George Karl being flabbergasted by what's going on there, Rudy Gay.
Willie Cauley-Stein's an interesting dude.
Right. They got, yeah.
Yeah, but the Kings. The other, I mean, you have Zebo, Matt Barnes, and Tony Allen on the same team.
Conley is great. Marc Gasol is a really good dude. Vince is a really interesting guy.
Come on, NBA. Okay, throw us a bone here. Give us like half the season of the Grizzlies and half the season of the Kings. Let's compromise.
Right. Well, they had that show, The Association, right?
Yes. The best moment on that was when Kendrick Perkins got traded in the Celtics season. That was pretty cool.
Oh, KP. What a guy.
All right, I sidetracked you. I apologize. You can move along now.
Yeah, so the last one that we don't really need to discuss is actually about the Grizzlies. I say they will average more than 16 threes a game for the first time since 2007.
Bold.
They were at 15.2 last year, and that has been nudging them up for the last few years. They were down near 11 a few years ago, and they keep coming up. I think they're going to get over 16.
Okay, I'll give my first one. John Wall finishes top 3 in MVP voting in his first team All-NBA.
Wow. I actually have a John Wall prediction too, so let me say that. We'll discuss them both.
Okay.
Mine is John Wall leads the league in assists.
I think we come from the same place, that John Wall is... Now, some people have been stomped in the ground for this already, that he's better than people realize and has been held back by the style of play. I basically don't think there's much difference between Wall and Westbrook outside of volume of shots and how they're allowed to play. I think Wall is able to be himself more this year, and he just explodes.
It's tough for me to answer on the Wall-Westbrook part, because Westbrook is my favorite player, and Wall is very, very close. So I can't be objective about it either way, because I want to be like, no way is he as good as Westbrook, and then I want to be like, he's absolutely as good as Westbrook. So I'll just ignore that part and say that, yes, I do think that he has been held back a little bit by, you know, the way they've run their offense. And if you look at Bullets Forever had a good piece about it, how it's more read and reacting this year, which I think will work well for him. They got a lot of shooters on that team for him to pick out all over the arc. They're big guys, you know, between Gortat and Nene, and they can use some of their wings as big sometimes. Everything's setting up, and this plays into what we talked about on the Eastern Conference Preview Podcast, that they can become that team that sort of jumps up into the second spot in the East. Everything's coming up John Wall for him to be able to do the things he does best very well this season, and I'm very excited to see it happen.
My second prediction: Amari Stoudemire and Gerald Green will have the worst defensive rating out of any two-man combination in the NBA, and I want a camera on Eric Spoelstra anytime they are on the court together.
That's a great one. That's really good. That's really good.
They
should never be on the floor together, those two.
I've made that joke on Twitter before, and I liked it so much I wanted to reuse it.
Well, it's sort of... like the Amari Tim Hardaway combination from a few years ago.
Two players I've just been exposed to way too much and seen like what they do to a defense. Like Gerald Green, you would watch him and he just kind of runs around and does whatever he wants. Amari just more stands there. Green,
see, I don't think so with Amari. He tries, he just doesn't know what he's doing.
Alright, that's alright, fine. I'll accept that. But what about those plays where he's like turned the other way and people are just running by him?
Well, yeah, he doesn't know what he's doing.
I'm so happy that's not on the team I root for anymore. I mean...
Oh, he's such a great dude. I feel bad talking about him like this.
I don't. At all.
You were never... Or I guess you were in Phoenix. Covering him up close, seeing him every day. Not every day, but I was at a lot of those games... talking to him, you know, he's a good dude.
I think he's kind
of... And it's not like he was one of those albatross guys that got hurt and, like, was not working as hard, literally as hard as humanly possible to get back on the court and stay on the court and do things to help the team. Like, he was not an Eddie Curry.
There's a level of fake with him that I didn't necessarily believe I think.
Well, that was just about his confidence in his own abilities, not about, you know, whether he was actually working and trying.
Oh, yeah, true, yes. All right, you want to give one of yours?
Yeah, so my next one is Houston will lead the league in double-digit per-game scorers.
With how many?
So I'm going to say Ty Lawson, James Harden, Trevor Ariza, Terrence Jones, Dwight Howard, Donuts, and possibly Patrick Beverley is going to be really close. I'll just say he does it, and they have 7 double-digit per-game scores.
All right, I'm going to ask you another fantasy basketball question here. Are you a little more down on James Harden from that perspective than maybe others?
No.
Because of that, you still think he gets his volume fine?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I was just curious.
I'm factoring in, like, guys are going to get hurt at some point, and other guys are going to start, and that's going to bump them up.
Okay. You want to do another one, or you want me to go to my next one? I only have 3 left.
I've got 1, 2... I've got 4 left, so I'll do 1 more.
Okay.
I will say Kawhi Leonard makes his first All-Star team this year, but Mike Conley doesn't, and it causes me to either cry or bitch on Twitter.
Both. I don't understand why you'd have to be limited to one. You could cry and bitch on Twitter.
That's true. But I probably won't. I'll be like on the verge of tears and decide to bitch on Twitter instead.
Oh, Kawhi, I think that it should happen, but I do wonder if Pop's...
I think at this point, even if he doesn't get voted in, the players and coaches are going to put him in as a reserve because everybody knows how good he is at this point.
It's just a minutes and counting stats thing.
I don't think that he's a guy that's going to need minutes and counting stats to get in.
I hope you're right, because I think he's one of the 15 best players in the league, and he definitely deserves that. I hate numbers.
I mean, over the second half of the season, he was easily, like not even close, one of the 10 best players.
Yeah, that's I hate rankings, and I'm not big into that sort of thing. First player traded, Joe Johnson.
First player traded. So you think he's going to be traded early on in the year?
Yes. The Nets don't end up... They see they're not good. He's an expiring contract who's still a useful player. Now, the money part's an issue because of how much he's making. It could be that's the one thing that could stop this from happening. But because he's in the last year of his deal, a team won't be afraid to take him on. And I think he could still help... He could still really help a team. Like he'd be good on the Grizzlies for a year.
Yeah, he would.
I don't know if they have. I'd have to look play with the trade machine and see if they have any way to be able to make that happen. They might not.
They still need to re-sign Conley after this season too.
Yeah, but and he would be, and Johnson would be off the books. Clear, it wouldn't impact him after this season. That's why I think he could be traded. Easy if another team that needed that position could make the money work.
Right. That makes sense. I was gonna follow up to your prediction by asking which team is he gonna be on, but I guess you answered it with Chris.
I'm gonna be honest. I didn't go that far into detail with it. Looking at all a bunch of trades, that was just a team that came up to my head. It's just someone that makes sense. With the contract situation, team situation, that could be on the move, so I thought that would be a fun prediction.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like it. My next one is that Paul George, Frank Vogel will not be the biggest player-coach feud of the year.
I mean, there's an obvious other one. For that.
What, Rondo, George, Carl?
I was going to say Cousins, Carl.
Oh, Cousins, Carl, yeah. Well, either way, I'm looking forward to the inevitable Jakar Sampson, Brett Brown feud. totally joking about that. But, yeah, there will be some other big player coach thing that blows up.
Lance and Doc, I think, would be in play.
Lance and Doc is surely in play. Although Doc doesn't really feud with guys. He just benches them and pretends they're not on the team anymore.
I feel like that won't work with Lance.
Well, there's another possible one.
What other ones? That's a good question. What other ones could there be?
Yeah, what other player coach feuds do you think can crop up?
I think Spoelstra, I don't think it will go both ways, but I think Spoelstra could literally strangle Amari or Green, going back to what I said before.
Or Spoelstra-Whiteside?
Oh, yes, that's more. That could be more of a two-way feud than Spoelstra wanting to kill someone. Who would Scott Skiles fight?
Hazonia for not playing defense?
Yes, that's... And Hazonia...
But I don't. That's not fair because
he's a rookie. But it seems like
rookies
he's
aren't good at defense.
But he's someone who would I could see mouthing back to Skiles, and that wouldn't end well.
No, it would not.
Jason Kidd in a bar could get into a fight with each other.
Not touching that. Let's go on to your next prediction.
I got two. My last two are award, other award predictions.
Okay, so let me go with my second to last one first.
Okay.
I will say the Jazz do not finish as a top five defense.
Wow. That
they're in the back half of the top ten.
I feel like most people would disagree with you on that.
That's why it's a bold prediction in this game.
I don't think it's all that unreasonable, though. I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, this goes back to the thing I said on the Western Conference podcast. You know, these teams that do a whole lot of improvement in the second half of the previous season generally don't sustain it the following year. Now, I believe in the Jazz's improvement a little bit more because so much of it was roster construction related. But top five defense is the top, 18% of the league. It's better to take the field over one team, and I think that there's a very good chance that you're only talking about five teams being better than them on defense. The sixth best defense in the league is still a really good defense.
And especially with how young they were and the potential disaster for their point guard defense, no matter how good the guys on the back end are.
Right. So that was my second to last prediction. What are yours?
Let's go. I went with comeback player of the year, Nicholas Batum. Is that a real award, by the way? Is that
I don't think they have it anymore. I think it used to be, and it's not anymore. I could be wrong.
Okay, well, I'm recreating the Comeback Player of the Year award, and I'm giving it to Nicholas Batum, who I think has a big bounce-back season. We kind of hit on that in the Eastern Conference one. But yeah, I just think last year was more fluky, injury-based, and he goes back to being the very good player he's been for a while.
Okay, apparently they used to have it, and it was eventually renamed the Most Improved Player Award in, I guess, the 1980s.
Okay, so that's hard. I mean, I guess he could win Most Improved. I don't really think it's him improving, though. I think it's just more of a bounce back. So, yeah, I'm sticking with my own created Comeback Player of the Year.
Fair enough, and I like it. I think he's going to be significantly better this year. He was hurt last season. I think it was very obvious. They talked about there were obviously reports about how he was injured. So I think that'll help nudge his shooting back up at the very least. So that'll work out well for him. What's your other award prediction?
I'm going to go, I think this is volume-based, and we talked about how the Pacers don't have much depth in their front court, and it looks like Miles Turner is at minimum going to have to play 25 minutes. So I think he's going to win Rookie of the Year.
Interesting. I have not seen anybody else pick him, but that's solid reasoning.
Yeah, I think he'll get some block numbers. He's going to maybe even hit a couple threes. He'll put up 10 points, 7 rebounds with some decent efficiency. And depending, I
so is what, is like 10 and 7 and a block and a half enough to be the Rookie of the Year? I don't know.
I mean, if you nudge Moody, if you hit Moody A for the turnover stuff, and then...
Is that going to happen, though? Like, are people really going to nudge a rookie point guard asking to run the entire team's offense for turnovers?
He should be.
All rookies have high turnovers.
Yeah, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but if you're looking at who had a better rookie season, I'd say the guy who... I mean, I know they played different positions, but maybe the guy who had a decent, didn't...
But let's say Moody A is at, 14 points, 7 assists, and 4 turnovers a game. Like, is that really enough to make him not the Rookie of the Year over a guy with 10, 7, and a block and a half?
Depends if Turner has...
Depends how well he shoots, I guess.
How well he shoots and what his team impact on the defense is, if he can be an outlier and not destroy a defense as a rookie.
That's fair.
I don't think Russell's going to get enough minutes. Towns, I don't think, sees the ball enough. Hazonia, not going to play enough. Porzingis, not going to play enough.
Yeah, I mean, it's... What about Stanley Johnson?
Potentially, but they do have Ilya Sova and Marcus Morris.
Yeah, that's true.
Jerrion Grant's a guy that maybe... in the mix, depending what happens with Calderon and how much he plays.
I was thinking about Winslow, like, a few weeks ago for it, just as, like, I figured, you know, he might be, like, their sixth man, play a lot of different roles, occasionally start when Wade is out, but in the preseason, it doesn't look like he's being asked to do all that much. So I'm not sure about it anymore.
And Devin, I don't think Booker plays enough, even though I really like him, so I can't give it to him. Lyles isn't going to play. I think Moutier, Turner, Towns,
Okafor
are probably your four guys. Okafor is the other reasonable pick for many of the same reasons I picked Turner.
Mm-hmm. And probably with even more volume.
Yeah, with better counting stats, yes.
All right, so... my final prediction before we get to our NBA Finals predictions is that we, me and you, Jared Bryan, have 14 arguments on Twitter about Dion Waiters and or J.R. Smith.
Over.
That's during the regular season only.
This is the over. If it involves J.R. Smith, it's the over. Dion, I'm not as hard-headed about, even though
I... was it and or?
Yeah. But, oh yeah, but 14, we'll hit the over on just J.R. Smith.
We might hit that by January.
Yeah. J.R., I'm here for you. Always here for you, buddy.
I'm mostly not, but sometimes I'm.
There you go. See? Look at that. A little bit.
Yeah, he's useful in certain contexts and very, very not a lot of
that's,
others.
Which we were, the funny thing is we're more... we're closer to the same page as that than when we argue about it.
Yeah.
Because
sure.
I do want him as my fifth, sixth best player. I don't want him as my second best player.
If he's your second best player, you're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. I do not deny that one bit. There's no... I don't argue with people about that. The people I argue with are the ones who make it like he's not a useful basketball player. That bothers me.
I think there are a lot of contexts where he's not a useful basketball player, and most of them involve him being the second best player or third best player on your team where he has to do a lot. Let's not have the actual argument. Let's
God,
let's,
I wish the NBA playoffs stopped after the conference finals last year.
But then we wouldn't have got to see the real JR.
No, shut up, you! All right.
Let's
and we've already
about,
hit 14.
Who do you have playing against the Cavs in the Eastern Conference Finals?
Ooh, in the I'm gonna go. I'll go with the Wizards.
I'm going with the Wizards too. What's your Western Conference Finals?
Warriors Rockets again.
Warriors Rockets again for me too. And what do you got in the finals?
Warriors Cavs. I'm picking. This is the second straight year I picked a rematch.
And what do you got?
Oh, it wasn't, but last year wasn't a rematch. I always call it a rematch because it was LeBron.
Right, you picked LeBron against the Spurs
yeah.
last year. Right.
Yeah, so...
repeat or the Cavs take them down?
I'm picking the Warriors repeat. Honestly, I really do. I like picking things to be different sometimes, even if I don't completely believe it. I just think it's trying too hard not picking the Warriors this year.
Well, I'm going to do it anyway.
But
you'll see this in the written part of the HB preview. I'm taking the Rockets over the Cavs.
But you do kind of agree with what I said, though, right?
I do kind of agree, but I want to be the guy that was right.
Yeah.
It's more of a, you know, I think the Rockets are good enough to win it. And I think that if a team other than the Warriors wins it, it's going to be them. So that's why I'm taking them. I think they're really good.
It's funny. Yeah, people thought I was nuts last year when I wrote about how the Rockets weren't going to get worse despite the pieces they lost. And that was one I actually got right, and I was happy about. That was good.
Let's keep talking about things we were right about.
Yeah, and like avoid that. Me. We won't mention that I picked the Knicks to be the 8th seed last year.
yeah, I did not.
I did. Very, very much. I did. I have no shame. I'm stupid. It doesn't bother me.
What else you got? Who's your MVP? Let's end on that.
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm going to go Durant.
KD.
Yeah.
I like it. I am taking Anthony Davis. I think that we have a new overlord, and we all better get used to it.
I actually think both of our MVP picks are stupid, though.
Why, because LeBron's going to win again?
No, we picked two guys with way too much injury variance that were going risky.
See, I think the risk on my pick is that there's only been like two times in the last 30 years that a player from a team that didn't finish in the top three in this conference won.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think there's any shot of the Pelicans finishing in the top three in the conference.
Yeah, so that there's that part. So
I'm just betting on him being so good that you can't possibly give it to anybody else.
Yeah, you're picking against the injuries and the wins. I'm picking more against the scariness of a foot.
Yep, that's fair.
All right, anything else? Do you want to let everyone know about the HP preview one more time before we go?
Yep, we've got the Hardwood Paroxysm season preview 2015-16. This is now, I believe, the fourth year that we're doing it as sort of a published ebook. It's going to be, we'll have links from everybody in the crew all day. You'll be able to find it on hardwoodparoxysm.com. We'll link to it on Nylon Calculus, Friendly Balance, Upside Motor. We've got three sections per team from the Hardwood Paroxysm crew, a section per team from the Nylon Calculus crew, a section from Upside and Motor on the young players in each division, a roundtable about each division, the rookies, and a sort of random grab bag. There is art sprinkled throughout, like fantastic, unbelievable, mind-blowingly good art for each team, for the divisions. There's cover and back cover art as well. Shout out to Ian Levy for being like a boss and editing a large portion of this thing by himself, doing the layout by himself. Shout out to the rest of our editors for wrangling the crew, Seth Partnow, Carl Maloney. His name is not actually Carl Maloney, it's Jack Maloney. And I think he'll be pretty happy that I shouted out his real name there. Scott Rafferty as well for getting their crews in order to contribute from now on Calculus, Friendly Bounce, and Upside Motor. Shout out to all the people that did a tremendous job working on this thing. It's the thing I'm proudest of every year. 400 pages this year of goodness. Check it out on hardwoodparoxysm.com.
All right. Yeah, everything Jared just said, I can't wait to start digging into it this weekend. All right, Jared, thank you very much. That was a blast, as always. I'm sure I'll be bothering you many times during the season. And that wraps up our season preview of the Podium Game Podcast.